げ晴れ、晴れが晴れだ、
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Sisi Gaurani Kariki. So, Hare Krishna. One moment. Is there anyone who is in charge for the sound of sit very comfortably. Vrindavan, do you know how to use this? There is not enough volume in this. Now, volume doesn't mean loud, but you know, the whole thing, the spectrum. It's alright, it's a difficult English word. He understands. So just try to, everything sounds a little as if we are already at Yamaraj and also the harmonium legs, I guess bellies are, yeah. Good. Please stay there. Yes. We are not in...
I would like to invite you all.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati. Just sing for this whole time, but I would love to tell you today about a very special devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in incorporates or exemplifies the qualities which devotees of Krishna should look for. My dear devotees, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur describes to us the qualities which devotees in this world should aspire to develop.
Dhyana Sumichata Sahaja Somya Mukta.
The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu think themselves to be lower than a blade of grass. They have a natural gentleness, natural charm, and when they speak words, the words are as sweet as nectar. The way how to practice humility in this world, says Rupa Goswami, is to practice a quality called kshanti, or forbearance. Forbearance is like tolerance. And I think we have the opportunity to practice this quality here. The weather is really serving monsoon. But we should tolerate this. Even if there is valid reason to get angry or upset, one nevertheless remains unperturbed or calm. So this equality can be practiced actually, even though there's reason to be agitated, like the weather is too cold, or reason to be upset because maybe in some exchange with one devotee or two we feel a little bit upset. And nevertheless, one should remain unperturbed or calm. The second quality which the devotees of Krishna in this world have, Vishay Ganda Tuhut Kriti. It means they are totally detached towards worldly dealings. They actually consider material sense gratification to be like a black hole which leads into nothingness or is dangerous. This morning I was walking through the forest, and I was thinking I should go inside the forest. Now all of a sudden, as I was just about to go, it was such a big boar. He made like this very uncultured sound, which you can find also in Serbian bars. he actually attacked me. So I then decided to run a little bit. But I could see that going into the forest was like entering a dark hole, which led actually to a dangerous place. So when devotees see something which looks like sense gratification, they feel this is a dark hole. If I enter there, it leads into nothingness, and maybe some danger will come at me. So this is the analogy which is given by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. For the devotees of Krishna, they think wealth and prosperity is not a sign of Krishna's mercy. But quite the opposite. They think that the real wealth in my life is the wealth of love of Krishna. In a worldly religion, Protestantism, that's a form of Christianity, it is said that if you are rich and you have a house and you have a garden, this means God has blessed you. But Vaishnavas think God has blessed me not if I have a house or a garden or money. God has blessed me only when I have love of Krishna in my heart. A beautiful how devotees think, isn't it? So the example of such a devotee who has these two qualities, tolerance, and who also feels that material wealth and material things are not desirable, is Kulavecha Sridhar. Kulavecha Sridhar lived in the northern part of Mayapur, where you will find a banana orchard. Do you know what is an orchard? It's like a fruit garden. How do we say it? Yes, a vachnak. Yes, a vachnak. There was a vachnak. So he lived in the midst of the vachnak. It was a banana vachnak. And he would actually make all his living by selling products from the banana tree. What this meant is, he would take the flowers of bananas and sell them. He would take the stem of banana trees and then take just the middle, which is a little soft, and sell it. He would take banana leaves and make eating plates from it. You can still find it in Srila Mayapur, these eating plates. And he would, of course, sell the bananas. So whatever, his prices were very fair. He was as honest as Yudhishthira Maharaj. Never spoke a lie. But whatever little income he made, he cut it into half. And one half he was using for the worship of Mother Ganga. For instance, he bought ghee lamps and offered aratis with incense. So he needed a little income to do that. And he also sometimes made these little ships, little things like this, and put some rice inside and allowed the rice to flow in the Ganga, and in this way feed Mother Ganga rice. Every day he would do this without any fail. When he had time, he would sit on the marketplace and he would sit just like you see in Serbia. There are people who sit before their honey glasses, you know, and their marmalade glasses. He was sitting before his banana tree products. And every day, Gauranga Mahaprabhu came by. He was at that time known as Nimai Pandit. And the following scene would happen. He would go to Kulavecha Sridhar, see the products, and then snatch the bananas, and he would say, "The price is much too high which you charge. Let me take them like this, and I give you half of it." And he said, "No, no, 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 no. My price is very fair. If you don't like it, go to other merchants. You will see it's more. They charge more. But you know, I need to insist that you give me the proper price, because if you don't, I can't perform my puja of Mother Ganga." So Nimai Pandit, as he was known at that time, would one day he said, "I can't understand why you are so stingy. You worship your Mother Ganga but I am the source of the Ganga. If you worship me, your purpose is completed. Kula Vichavi, it was a simple devotee that Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. How can you say this? People who grow older become a little bit more mature, but you become more restless and more like a rascal as the day go by. Don't say this, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just snatch the bananas, and after arguing with Kula Vichavi for 2 hours, he just ran away.
You must know that Krishna likes very much those devotees who have no material possessions but who are fully happy with devotional service. Krishna does not accept anything from those who are proud of their material education, who are proud of their wealth, their aristocracy, means their high parentage, and their activities. Often the men or human beings throw insults on the poor devotees who have nothing except for Krishna. But Krishna does not accept even a single offering. He doesn't glance at a single offering which does not come for his humble devotee. Therefore Krishna liked to only go to Kolavecha Shrita. One day Kolavecha Shrita said, "You come here every day, and every day for 2 hours you quarrel with me. Can't you just go to another person?" Inside he thought, "Oh, please don't go, please don't go." But he said like this, "Can't you go?" Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I found a good supplier. Why should I give my good supplier?" Every day, Kula Vichya Shrita would wait for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was smiling so sweetly, he stared at him and just said after some time, "You have conquered my heart, you young Brahmin boy. Just take everything for free." How did Lord Chaitanya at that time look? Do you sometimes like to look at beautiful people? Maybe no one wants to say yes. I think we all stare sometimes at Govinda Nanda face. It's extremely beautiful. If you have to stare at someone, please stare at God. That is best. So our Kula Vichya Shrita
looked at Lord Chaitanya, who looked as beautiful as the god of love. His forehead was decorated with a tilak, and he had tucked his dhoti in 3 attractive places. His hair were very curly. Like, who of you has curly? The men have no hair. Maybe Madhav Muni, you have naturally curly hair. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very naturally curly hair like this. And the hair was bound in a, what is called a top knot
here.
His earrings were nicely designed, and his eyes, which were very temperamental, which is very restless. He was, I think you have seen me doing this. He was just looking always like this, and very temperamental, you know, like this. Ananta Dev personally resided in his Brahmin thread, and he was constantly chewing red beetle leaves, which made his lips as red as cherries. You know, in Serbia, when we have cherries, it's very red. Like this, he would look so beautiful, very energetic as he came in his beautiful white dhoti. He had a golden effulgence. He looked like a sun coming this way. And Skulavecha Shrita would just pray and pray. When will this Brahman come there to me? Finally, they made a settlement. Daily, Skulavecha Shrita provided Gauranga Mahaprabhu leaf plates, stem, and bananas from his tree. And daily the Lord would eat his meals and his rice only from the leaf plates of Sridhar. My dear devotee, you must know Kolavecha Sridhar was a real devotee. Now then, this special day came, which we know as the Sat Pariha Bhava. Any one of you remembers what this day is? I think you remember. You all look blissfully spaced out and concentrated. You will remember. What is the Sat Pariha Bhava? Yes, this were the 21 hours where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had kept his identity hidden, showed one form after the other of God. He had just sat down on the altar of Srivas Thakur, and as he was sitting there, he would change a little bit like my beautiful Igore candle, who changes colors, but he would see now it's blue. Soon, but the things, yeah, now it's green. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would change his color into the form of Ramachandra, green. Then he would change another time and he would be Lord Nrsingadev. Then yet another time he would turn into Krishna. He did this for 21 hours. You remember yesterday we heard about Mukunda, who came during this time and was finally accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sat there and all the devotees served him. They were fanning, they were garlanding him, they put beetles in his leaves in his mouth, they were dancing, they were praying, and they were reciting different shlokas. And then they started an arati. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
He lives in the northern part of Mayapur. I request you to go and find him. It's night, my dear Lord. How will we find our way to him? Or do you just walk? And after some time you will hear someone singing very loudly in the night. He sings my names. And you can identify him by this. The atheists always mock Sridhar. They say this Sridhar sings the whole night because hunger is ravishing his stomach. Hunger is there, and therefore he does not talk. He just doesn't sleep. He just chants all night. So, but Sridhar didn't mind to be blasphemed by the atheists. In the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse about the devotees and their relationship to chanting. The Bhagavatam says, "My devotees have minds which are free from material desires, and they call the Lord constantly with ever-increasing devotion. As a response, the Lord, who knows that he is controlled by the love of his devotees, never leaves the devotees. just as the all-present sky overhead never becomes invisible. Please think about this beautiful example. A devotee who chants Krishna's name feels always the presence of Krishna, just like we feel the presence of the sky wherever we go. We just need to look up and we see there is the ever-present sky which never becomes visible. So Shrita was calling out very loudly, please join him. Oh Hari!
Oh Hari!
Oh Govinda!
Oh Govinda!
Oh Madhusudan!
Oh Madhusudan!
Oh only goal of my life!
Oh only goal of my life!
Really? And Chaitanya, when the devotees heard, they knew this is Shriha, and they were easily finding him, even though it was night. And when they came to him, they said, the Lord, who is the same Krishna who has come from Vrindavan, wants to see you, Shridhar. What does that Shridhar mean? Yes, he is that Lord who is known here as Nimai Pandit, the Brahmin boy. But he's sitting on Shrivas Thakur's altar and he shows from his own body the different forms of Krishna, and that Lord wants to see you, Shrida. When Shrida heard it, he went like and fainted. The devotees helped him up and with great effort brought him to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he enters, he sees Lord Chaitanya on the altar with his golden colored complexion. He looks like a sun. And he immediately pays his obeisances. And as he is still on the ground, his head down, he hears a deep voice, Oh Sridhar, look at me. So he comes up with his head like this, and as he raises the head and looks on the altar, he doesn't see golden colored Lord Chaitanya, but he sees Krishna with a blackish body like a tamal tree playing on his flute, and next to him he sees. Someone of you said Balaram. That is correct. He sees Balaram. Every direction is filled with the light which comes from Krishna. You must know, Krishna is very dark, but at the same time, inexplainably, very bright. There, he has 10 toenails, in Serbian language you would say fingernails, the down toenails, and they are like 10 moons, and he has 10 other fingernails which are like 10 other 10 moons, 20 moons. When Krishna takes his flute and plays, the toenails are dancing because he dances with the rhythm, and the fingernails, it's 20 moons are dancing. Around what are they dancing? They're dancing around the 21st moon, which is his beautiful face. And when they see the beautiful face of Krishna, they see the cheek, two cheeks, there are 23 moons. And then they see the forehead, that's the 24th moon. And then they see another moon, which is a little dot on the forehead. And all these moons dance, dance, and dance. I like this picture of Krishna, the dancing form of love, very much. And I remember a poem by the Sufi poet called Rumi. Rumi says, every child knows about God. Not the God of the many religious dogmas, the do's and the don'ts. Not the God whose followers go to make war against each other. Every child knows about the God who repeats to all human beings again and again only four words: come and dance with me. Come and dance with me. So as a sweetheart saw Krishna on the altar and everything was dancing, the toenails, the fingernails, his cheeks, his eyes, he just fell in love with that Krishna. All the devatas, beginning with Rama,
Lord Brahma and Shiva, praised and served him. There were the great rishis Sanaka, Narada, Shuka, and the great saints who glorified him. In all the four directions, there were the beautiful gopis of the Lord who were praising him with folded hands. And above Lord Krishna was Ananta Shesha with the thousands of heads who was protecting the Lord like his umbrella. As Sridhar saw this vision, he reeled, he couldn't stand any longer, he just turned. He stared at the vision in front of him. Various emotions crowded his heart, like awe and wonderment. And finally, he became totally overwhelmed with love and fell to the ground. But the Lord was not satisfied when Sridhar fainted. He said, "Oh Sridhar, get up and chant my praises." Sridhar got up and said, "I'm foolish. I'm not a Brahmana. I'm an ordinary banana seller. I cannot compose any prayers." And the Lord said, "Anything you say, Sridhar, is as valuable for me as the sound of the Vedas." I think we can understand this. Madhva Muni and Kishori have a child called Sriji. I remember when Sriji first started to speak, they said, "Wow, this is a very good utterance." And when they gave Sriji some prasadam, Sriji said, no. They said, "Very good assessment of the quality of the food. You are knowing everything." For the loving parents, every word of the child is full of meaning. We may think, "Hare Krishna, what is he saying? An educated boy." But the parents will protest, No. "Our boy is highly expressive. You just don't understand correctly." So the Lord likes more the words of his devotees, even his uneducated devotees, than he likes the praises of the Vedic scriptures. But because the Lord wanted that a secret is revealed through Sridhar, he ordered Saraswati to appear on the tongue of Sridhar. And in this way, Sridhar began to call out, "Jaya, Jaya, Mahaprabhu." Innumerable universes, this is Vishwambhara, who is born from the womb of Mother Sachi and walks now through our town of Navadvipa. Jaya, Jaya, Veda Gopya.
Jaya, Veda Gopya.
Jaya, Dvija Raja.
assume various forms.
Yes.
In every age, to protect the religious principles. In the past, you appeared in Goloka Vrindavan and made it glorious. But now, you have come here to our Navadvipa and made that town glorious. You were wandering with your 2 feet through our streets and our lanes. No one could recognize you. Previously, you had personally told me that the water of Mother Ganga has emanated from your lotus feet. But my sinful heart did not recognize you, and I couldn't believe what you said. You are only known through bhakti. Thank you. You are known only by bhakti, and bhakti conquers you. Therefore, you keep it concealed and hidden. This is usually Krishna knows. Anyone who has bhakti has the key to my heart. Therefore, he doesn't give it very easily. But as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in your present incarnation, you are freely distributing it. Because they had bhakti, Bhishma defeated you by making you break your promise. Because she had bhakti, Yashoda bound you. Because she had bhakti, Satyabhama actually bound you and then sold you to Narada Muni for a little price. Because he had bhakti, Sridham was carried by you. Although you are carried in the minds of all living entities in the universe, you have personally carried Sridham. Then Sridhar said something valuable. Like a king who hides his treasures, you kept bhakti hidden. But now your hiding is over, shattered. In the past, you were conquered only by 2 or 4 persons. But just see, now the whole world, including even some people from Serbia, stand before your door and beg you for bhakti. Soon you will be bound and you will be in the possession of all these people, because they just need to sing the holy name with full attention, and bhakti will come in their heart. And when they have bhakti in their heart, they will see you. When the exalted Vaishnavas heard what Sridhar said, they were struck with amazement. They didn't know what you know, that Saraswati was speaking from the tongue of Sridhar. And they called him from that day on Sridhar Pandit. Because he had revealed a secret through his devotees. That is, that he can be known through bhakti. Then the Lord decided to demonstrate the greatness of Sridhar. Hare Krishna, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please.
Today some of us were in the forest where there are some energy circles. The Bali was flying like 5 centimeters over the ground from the energy. Small animosity. When you have the full animosity, you can fly from here to Vrindavan without paying any dinar. Mahima, you can become greater than the greatest of all mountains. Lagima, become lighter than the lightest. Prapti, acquire whatever you desire, including a Serbian villa. Prakamya, the power to do just anything within the scope of material nature. Prabhupada said he had a teacher who was a mystic yogi who had this prapti city, and once he asked the children, what do you want to have? And the children said, pomegranate apples from Kabul, Afghanistan. The yogi went like, said, go into my sleeping room, there you will find your pomegranates. And then the children went inside the place. They saw on the bed pomegranates freshly plucked from a tree in Afghanistan. 8 powers are like this. And the Lord said, come on, ask them. You can have them. But Sridhar said, no, I don't want anything. Already in the past you have cheated me by giving some little price for my products. I don't want anything from you. But Sridhar, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and tested him a second time. You are so poor. Look at your shirt. Your shirt has holes. It is not a very good shirt. The roof on your house is so leck, we say in German. It is so leck that the rain comes through it. Ask for some good house. But Sridhar said, no, no. If there's anything I should desire, there's only one thing. Let that beautiful Brahmin boy who came with his curly hair and snatched the bananas from me after arguing lovingly with me, let he come to me birth after birth. Let me supply bananas for him forever, forever and ever. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you know, this was most probably the poorest of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, because he gave half of what he had away, was so pleased, my dear devotees, so absolutely happy, that he said, my dear Sridhar, today I give you what not even Brahma and Shiva have. Do you know what that is? Nike sport shoes or what? Prema Bhakti, love of Krishna, I give you this in your heart. And he gave it and blessed our Shrita. All the, it is hidden in the Vedas. Therefore the shloka said, Veda Gopya Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti which is so confidential that even the Vedas don't know about the intimate dealings of Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. And when all the Vaishnavas heard this, the fortune of Sridhar, who was trembling and crying as he received the Prema Bhakti and the symptoms of ecstasy, crowded over his body like ants which crowd over a piece of wood. When they saw this, they all shouted very loudly, Jai! Jai!
Jai! Jai!
My dear devotees, we learn here from Chaitanya Bhagavata a different value system. Amongst us human beings, someone is valuable when he is intelligent or rich or comes from a good family or is beautiful like Govinda Nandam. We are thinking like then someone is very fortunate. But the value system in Bhakti Sangha and the association of devotees is only this one. That is that when you have bhakti in your heart, you are actually beautiful and nice. We can see this. Now remember, we have a little charity in Vrindavan. It's called Braj Care, where we take care of poor sadhus by giving them homeopathic medicines and take care of their little houses so that they are safe. We have now exported many raincoats so that the sadhus who do Govardhan Parikrama in the monsoon have a first-class Chinese raincoat. We have done such things with our Braj Care. And there was one famous ethnologist. You know, there was a professor from the London University who studies the cultures of different people, who wanted to make a movie about the widows of Radhakund. And she came with her camera team and contacted our people at Radhakund who are taking care of Braj Care. And they took them to the widows. Now these are the poorest ladies in India, but because they have bhakti in their heart, the ethnologist said, "I've never seen such deep beauty." All Yamadajis like to be beautiful in the face, and the men like to be beautiful in the muscles. Real beauty really is bhakti, because it's the beauty of the heart which can touch the heart of others also. So that is the ethnologist. She said, "A person just by looking into the faces of the widows of Radhakund, I'm beginning to understand that our modern value system, which is based on money and external beauty, is not good as long as it does not make the heart beautiful." So Sridhar, the poorest of the poor, wanted prema bhakti in his heart. That made him truly remarkable. We now come to the end. And the last night came. Anyone who hears about the last night will cry, "My dear devotees, it was the last night which Gauranga Mahaprabhu spent in Navadvipa." The next morning, it was January, very cold, like this climate, even colder, he would swim over the Ganga. He would turn his back to the people who loved him the most, just like Krishna, who left Vrindavan. Gauranga Mahaprabhu would leave Navadvipa. On the evening of the last night, he sat with his beautiful hair on the banks of the Ganga. And all the Navadvipasis came. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received garlands from each one. And as he received one garland, he gave another garland away and put it around the neck of the Vaishnavas. And he said to the Vaishnavas, "I want to give you three orders. If you love me, keep these three orders." Glorify Krishna. Bhaja Krishna. Worship Krishna. And chant the name of Krishna. Do not think of anything else than Krishna throughout the 24 hours of the night. And it is said, as the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the garland and said this, he gave an order for everyone, and he said, whether you are sleeping, eating or waking, day and night, think of Krishna, chant his name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati comments on this. This means 24 hour kirtan and being in Krishna consciousness. He said, for one who has heard the kirtan inaugurated by Gaura, there's no instruction to stop thinking of Krishna or chanting his names 24 hours every day, even while eating, sleeping or waking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you have any affection for me, no other sound should come from your lips than Krishna. What do you think about this? When I heard it, I thought, well, this is the movement I have joined. It's a movement of intense absorption. Do you know absorption, the word absorption? This cloth was once as white as the full moon, but then it was put into a saffron color thing, and it's called in English, it was dying, it was absorbing the color, and now it has the color. This is what we want to do ultimately with our mind. We want to absorb it so much in Krishna that everything else goes. Land Zeppelin goes, money goes, sex goes, everything. Only thing left is Krishna. This is the program of Krishna Samadhi, which the devotees of Krishna want to adopt slowly, slowly. That evening, when Lord Chaitanya garlanded the whole town of Navadvip, which came as if called personally, by personal invitation, he knew, tomorrow, before the night ends, I will not see these devotees. I will swim over the Ganga and go to Katwa and shave my hair, and there will be, at that time, lamentation that I have left. What to do? So in the evening, everyone was almost gone. All of a sudden, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees Sridhar coming. Sridhar is very poor, as you know, but he lovingly brought to the Lord a pumpkin. It's called a bottle gourd. It looks a little bit like this, and then it goes up like this from his own roof in the hut. And he said, for you, my dear Brahmin boy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu took it with tears in his eyes. And he knew, this is my dear devotee who has given an offering, but I won't have time to eat it. Tomorrow I'm not there. So he went to Mother Sachi and said, I have to accept the offering of Sridhar. I'm not accustomed to eat so late, but I will have to accept. And that person, at that time, another fortunate person brought some milk. Mother Sachi boiled the pumpkin in the milk and served it to Gauranga, who accepted the loving offering of Sridhar. The Lord is Bhakta Vatsala, the protector and friend of his devotees. And he accepted the loving offering, the final offering. My dear devotees, Lord will always accept our loving offering without any question. He will only look for one thing in that offering. Do you know what it is?
Love.
Love, bhakti, bhakti, yes. Patra pushpa phalam toyam yome bhakta prayasati. The Lord will not accept anything else, only the bhakti. If that is not there in your preparation is still incomplete. Only when bhakti is there, is your preparation fully complete. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by the glorious example of Shrita. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
I am Jesus,
My little seminar. It has been completed today. I thank you very, very much. It was my hope to bring a little bit of the Gauranga culture to your kind attention. During the seminars, we heard about Lord Chaitanya's wonderful, exchanges with Haridas Thakur, for instance, and with Mukunda and Kolalesha Shrita. We heard about Lord Chaitanya dancing at Ratha Yatra. And we, this way, could understand a little bit more about Chaitanya Bhakti and the speciality, how it is, what we need to understand about it, and what we can imbibe in our life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he once said that there should be Gaura Katha, or the talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the whole day, really. And I would like to tell you why I personally have a great interest in where I live. Where do I really live? I travel so much, but my base is in Gaura Bhavan, and I live near to a large Vaishnava community which is based in a castle called the Dharma Castle. There are many families living around, and they earn money by the Time Waver company. It's a company which Gadadhar has founded and which engages many grihasthas and takes care of their livelihood. So anyway, so every Ekadasi I'm invited there to come into the castle, and I talk already since a few years about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It started in Berlin, when I moved to Berlin, and what we found out is that as we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, we do get an idea and an inspiration for Chaitanya Bhakti. That's so important. I think we all know by now that if in our lives we have some Bhakti with us, that is very, very useful. Bhakti just transports our whole life and makes every step wonderful and enriches it. It makes us real people, really. So I wanted to share with you my own enthusiasm and inspiration about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And I wanted to also make, of course, the point how important and how wonderful the chanting of the holy name can be. Now we have a little bit time, maybe 12 minutes, I can see there. Where we can see if you have any questions regarding these subjects or subjects bordering, I mean, these type of subjects. Please see. Yes, Ananda Gopal.
I have a question regarding the morning Bhagavad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I get
the
mic here because I can speak
to you? Yes, there's a microphone, Madhuri Manjari, for Ananda Gopal.
As you mentioned in a Bhagavatam class in the morning, that the solution for the problem of a material attachment and everything is that we should associate with the devotees. And my question is that I noticed that as we come in association with devotees, we also come with our anarthas, our false ego, temperament and etc. And what you know, because of that, we sometimes or often we made a Vaishnava parada, and that parada maybe put us aside for a short or long period from the association of devotees. So my question is how to deal with that and how to deal with that, because as you also mentioned, Dr. Jung, it called shadow in psychology, this because we cannot get rid of our shadow so easily. It's always come with us. Our anatta is always with us because we are not so pure. So how to be in association with devotees and not to allow to our anatta make, the problems.
Thank you very much, Nanda Bhupai. There are wonderful verses which describe to us how these dark shadows in the heart move out. It's when the sun of Krishna rises in the heart, then that goes. I think, when we have devotee association, the instruction is really to act also as devotees. That is, to hear in the association of devotees about Krishna. Often what I see in temples is we have morning program, but we limit the discussion about Krishna just to the morning program. If at all, I've heard there are some temples where the speakers just talk mundane politics in the Bhagavatam class. I have heard this is happening in the Vatican. I do not know, but I have heard. The devotee association only works to remove the shadows in the heart when there is actually discussion about Krishna and service of Krishna, and not in a formal way. Formal way means, okay, Bhagavatam class 45 minutes, half of the group of devotees is anyways asleep or anticipating breakfast, and then the rest of the day just talk roughly about what needs to be done. No, the idea is devotee association means much sita mat kata prana bodayam tas parasparam. And I think we have so many devotees, but we need to learn to associate devotionally. Then this happens, then the purification takes place. It is said that in the devotee association, two things happen, and you can see when it's a real devotee association. The first is the matihi, your inner orientation and inclination has to go towards Krishna. Then it's the right association. If this is not happening, if your inclination or your mind is becoming disturbed, it was not really the real thing. It looked like it, but it was not the real thing. And it needs to be corrected. You know what I have seen in my personal life? That there are many subjects in a movement, and subjects where you have one opinion and other devotees have another opinion. There the eternal dilemma, I believe it's a false dilemma, between the conservatist group and the liberal group. I think it's a wrong dilemma. I think both of the viewpoints are very important to come to a well-rounded picture of so on. But we find that often there's quarrel. Mm-hmm. No? Old school, new school, you know. Both schools are important if they are following Prabhupada and so on. And I have sometimes seen that in my life I am always a creative preacher, I've always been outside, and I'm sometimes grouped personally to be a member of the New School or the Liberal Community voters. I'm not fully confident that I am, but this is how sometimes people think about Sachinanand Swami. And I have sometimes disagreed very strongly with what I consider a view which does not take into account all of Prabhupada's instructions, but just takes one view and then calls itself we are conserving Prabhupada's statement. I have sometimes disagreed strongly. But what I found out that after discussing with good devotees about these different views and see, can we come to a complete picture, please? And there are many wonderful devotees with whom you can talk responsibility. We say, let us put this now aside and talk about our experiences in Krishna consciousness. And the moment we talk about Krishna conscious experiences or we talk about Krishna, we have seen that there is no longer the idea of conflict or disagreement because you come to another level. I have personally seen this very often, and I have been in these discussions because I'm an older devotee and I'm doing many things in the service of Prabhupada, and therefore these discussions come, and I've always seen even when there are strong disagreements because of different perspectives and different it doesn't matter when you come to a common ground. And I believe it is very necessary that this common ground is very much cultivated about amongst devotees. We need to have kirtan evenings. We need to, dare I say, we need to sometimes speak about Krishna. We are also, after all, called the Krishna conscious movement, you know. Best we do this 24 hours a day, but if we can't, at least 10 minutes, you know, some Krishna conscious talk, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so on. And then we will rise to a level where Gauranga Mahaprabhu will come into the heart of the. He will drive out the shadow, like the sun and the moon. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda will appear simultaneously in the heart and drive that out. That will happen. I think sometimes devotees make it very simple. They think, oh yeah, devotee association, okay, let's go and talk about the football. You know, that's after all the most important subject now in the world. It's in the every TV and so on. So let us to Brazil, oh, Germany, and so on. But then you will invite Maya into the discussion. That is not a devotee. It is a devotee assembly, but there is no Krishna devotee talk there. And there is darkness in the assembly. There's a very big problem now, you know, very big problem. Have you heard about the conflict of Russia and Ukraine? And it is very big. I was there, the devotees came and said, Sachinanda Maharaj, what should we come? What should we do? We are in our house. All of a sudden the soldiers come and shoot our mother. Can we take a gun and shoot the soldiers? Hare Krishna. Then such discussions are there. And the impression is, because of media, that Russia went into Ukraine and took the Krim area by force, and now some Ukrainian devotees feel Russians are bad, and there is even on internet bad Russians, right, the Ukrainian devotees, bad Russian devotees. It comes all of a sudden on a mundane platform. The leaders have to tell the devotees, because the conflict is so hot at the moment, don't leave Krishna consciousness out of it. We are different people. We are not Russians and Ukraine people. We are servants of Krishna. Because the emotions can become so strong. And this I can see also in our devotee associations, like, you know, and sometimes the disagreement becomes so strong that the two sides just cannot find any point of agreement any longer. This is sad because they forget there is a point of agreement, that is Krishna. And that should be cultivated more. Thank you very much for your important question. Mm-hmm. There was another at Govinda. Govinda, you have the best name.
Maharaj, yesterday you spoke about the three hearts of bhakti.
Yeah.
And I know what you're going to ask, but ask it anyways.
First heart is similar to the third heart.
Yes, first heart is similar to the third and that. Please, if you can shed some light.
I can read minds. Can we, Kishori, can you please go back to the three arts? Maybe this original piece of art is still available. Or... Yes, Hare Krishna. We can take it here so that the devotees can see. Maya, look at it there for just a moment. So here you see a simple module of based on Rupa Goswami's description, what is bhakti. He said the primary symptoms means Swarup Lakshana is please help in Sanskrit. Adyavi Lakshana Kamati and Avita. Anukulyena Krishna no Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Bhakti Uttama, that is the highest bhakti. Anukulyena, which is done with a mood to please, a favorable mood. Anukulyena Krishna no Bhu Krishna. Then Shilanam, it's an endeavor which involves body, mind and speech to serve Krishna. This is directly from the Sanskrit. We find three ingredients there. It must be done for Krishna. It's for Krishna. And it's a passive and not a passive, an active engagement. And there must be a certain intention. Look, Kamsa also fought with Krishna, but he didn't have the intention to please Krishna. And therefore his activity was not bhakti. But Shrida fought with Krishna, but he wanted to please Krishna, and therefore it's bhakti. No? So it's the intention, I think. The intention must be there, Gokovinda. And I see this as very important. Devotees usually act, but what is motivationski? What is the motivation? What is the intention behind it? The intention, we must get it in our heart, it must be to please. You might say, well, for Krishna, see the idea is for Krishna, an activity. And the intention of doing the activity is to please. It's about intention, the last point. To satisfy, to give pleasure. It is really said like this. Kamsa was also fighting with Krishna. So two points of the formula were there, and that he wanted to kill Krishna. It was no good intention. Have you ever thought, I'm doing this program, yoga is music and Zagreb, and I want to do it so nice with such nice decorations. Krishna is just so pleased. This is how you do something for bhakti. Now, glance at the clock reveals that it's 7 o'clock. I thank you once again very much for your kind attendance. I hope there was something in there for you to give inspiration to your Krishna consciousness. And I wish you all the best. And may Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bless you. Be in your heart. And Well, I'm there tomorrow still. Tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, it's not over yet. It's only the third part. Second part has started, and third part of the Samagam. We see each other. Tomorrow will also be a program. Here is Madhavamuni. We want to say something. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.